Good evening, class. Are you ready to get started in today's class? See what the Spirit of God has to reveal to us today. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last week, we got started on some of the duties executed by an apostle. I gave you five of them. We're still going to get the list up on the internet for you to go over. I'll give you some more of them. There's a sum total of 26 of these apostolic duties that I have. There are probably more, but I have them listed from another teacher. So as he's giving them, I'm going to give them to you. Last week, I'm just going to call the first five I gave out to you. I gave out to you number one was together. Number two was impart. Number three was to mobilize. Number four is to order. Number five is to judge. So those are the five I gave last week. I give you five more this week. And the next in the coming weeks, I give you five more. Number six, the apostle, a duty executed by an apostle is to reform. The apostle reforms. Apostles are reformers. They bring the necessary change to the house of God. Apostles are raised up during times of reformation. So right now we're in a time of reformation where God is restoring his government to the church. So they are apostles are being restored to the kingdom. Number seven, apostles build. Apostles are wise master builders. The apostolic anointing is a building anointing. Apostles help build strong churches. They have been likened to general contractors. They are responsible for overseeing construction of the house of God. If you want a scripture reference, some of them I have scripture references for, some of them I don't. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Looking at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, Apostle Paul, this, when I go through most of the references, when I minister about an apostle, will be from the Apostle Paul, since he's the one that God gave so much revelation about the kingdom of God and about how the church should be established and about church doctrine. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth upon, but let every man take it heed how he buildeth thereupon. So Apostle Paul said, I laid the foundation, but everybody else is going to build the foundation. Well, we know that scripture over in Ephesians 2:20, where it says, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So when Jesus gave him the foundation, he laid the foundation, and they come along and build up on it. And so we are supposed to be building up on the foundation like the apostles did. Number eight are the apostles to bring revelation. Apostolic ministry is a ministry of revelation. Apostles bring insight to the body of Christ concerning the plans and purposes of God. According to the plans and purposes of God. I always like Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So that's God's plan for his people. So, but the apostle bring that revelation so we can walk into those plans and purposes of God. Number nine is to father. Apostles are spiritual fathers. As fathers, they birth, protect, teach, and mentor. They restore the principles of fatherhood to the church. So we have an apostle here, and all these, you can look at our apostle and then you can see examples of what, as we go through each one of them. As an apostolic father, we see he have sons that are under him. We have many ministries that falls under the umbrella of the LTMA umbrella, and he's training those pastors and those young ministers, and he's bringing them into the kingdom and teaching them how to operate in the kingdom so their lives can be a total victory. And number 10 is to lay foundation. The apostolic anointing is a foundational anointing. Again, sound like the one back at number 7, but it's a foundational anointing. Apostles lay foundation in the lives of God's people, preparing them for coming moves of God. Without apostolic ministry, people lack the proper foundation to grow properly. And so part of, as we are teaching and ministering now, part of what we're doing is as the apostolic is being restored to the church, we are preparing and maturing the people of God so they can operate in the kingdom the way God set it up. We restoring God's government to the church. And so, and we can begin to see that supernatural. I keep saying supernatural. You're going to hear enough. It's going to come out of my mouth the whole 2 years that you're here with me. The supernatural, because the supernatural is important. It is a supernatural kingdom that we're operating in. God is a supernatural God. Jesus was born in the supernatural, by the supernatural. The church itself is a supernatural entity in the kingdom of God. And so everything that Jesus did while he was here on the earth, it was supernatural action. And these acts that was done cannot be done in the natural. So therefore it was done supernaturally. And so God himself show us how to do it. The word of God gonna show us how to do it. So let's go back and look at some of just a few notes from last week where I left off from in our Coach of Honor class. I wanted to get you some of those to you. And like I said, that outline will be up on the internet as soon as I can get someone to go in and show me how to do it. And I can do it. I get it up for you. But it'll be probably up on this week's class or next week's class. Last week I left off and I started talking about leaders, and one I gave a pointer. I said leaders also acknowledge their interdependence on the diverse anointings God has distributed among his leadership, and they are designed for functioning as a team that creates a funnel from heaven to earth. It creates a funnel from heaven to earth. So that's that paradigm that we're looking for. We're looking from that paradigm of from heaven to earth. And therefore, we can operate in the supernatural. In the safety and freedom that grows as God's presence grows, leaders lead by developing ways to help people get along with one another in a free culture. And so we who are in the body of Christ, we have to learn to get along with each other. We've given tools that we can operate and teach each other how to operate in the kingdom and operate the way God wants us to operate. They have tools for confrontation that are in line with people's God-given identities and are motivated by the passion to protect and grow the connections that God is building among us. We have, when we think of connection, we are connected. God has brought us all here together and we are connected. We have an apostle who we are connected to. That apostle is imparting to us what God, the graces that God has put in him. And if we connect properly, again, everything that's on that apostle's life will come off on our life. That's the way God set it up. I showed you that scripture over in Numbers chapter 11, looking at verse 17, where he said, God said he came down and he take the spirit that's up on that apostle. And he put it on all those who are connected to him if we connect properly. So connection is important. Leaders lead their people in extending the honor of the kingdom to the wider community, creating ways for our cities, to experience the life that is flowing among us. We should be differently than the world system. When you see someone that's in the body of Christ, and if they're operating rightly and properly, our lives should be different from our surrounding communities. And so that's why, if you go back and think about that scripture over in Romans 12:2, where Word of God tells us, he say, "And be not conformed to this world, this world system, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So if our minds are being conformed or transformed, then our surrounding, our environment also should be transformed. And so if we do it properly, it will transform. It will do that. And so that's why we are ministering, we're teaching, and those gifts, those leadership, those fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, evangelist. And they say they are given to the body of Christ so that they can mature the body of Christ, so they can work in the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into, it gets down to the end, until we come into the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. And we know what Jesus came. I'm going to get into that part some more, and I guess this part is still part of the introduction. So we're going to get into chapter 1 tonight and see a little bit of that. The clear fruit of establishing a culture of honor is that the resurrection life of God, of Christ, begins to flow into people's lives, into their homes, into their communities, bringing healings, restoration, blessing, joy, hope, and wholeness. That's one of the things that Jesus said when he reestablished that kingdom. Wholeness is that peace part, where there's nothing that's missing and nothing is broken in the individual's life. So if you're walking in prosperity, you're walking in wholeness. If you're walking in health, you're walking in wholeness. And so that's part of what that culture is on. A culture of honor is representing and bringing to the body of Christ. So let's go into chapter 1, look at some of the things that chapter 1 bring. Here the author, Brother Silk, began to talk about a supernatural culture. And he talked about the culture that they develop at the ministry that he's under, but we bring it home and we teach it from our prospect of it, how God has led us to lead it. We're going to give you some notes from that chapter, but basically, as the Spirit of God lead us, we'll give you things that he lay on our hearts. A supernatural culture. The heart of this culture is the conviction that Jesus himself modeled the Christian life for us. So if we understand the heart of the apostolic government itself, again, we go back and we look at that at foundation. Again, as we see in Ephesians 19:20, a basic scripture here that we're going to use throughout this lesson is that you're no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God and built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So if he's the chief cornerstone, then that's what we're building up on. But he sent us these apostles and these prophets so they can bring us into and teach us how to operate in the kingdom. One of the things that Jesus tells attorney, John chapter 6, looking at verse 38. And this is one of the ways that he began to, he knew who he was. He knew why he came to the earth. He knew that that if he did what he was came to do, then the supernatural would operate in his life. Here in John 6:38, and again, there's that. As I think about it more and I see it more, I see that heaven to earth paradigm. Here, Jesus in 6:38 says that. He says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, But the will of the Father of him that sent me. He said he didn't come to do his will. He didn't have his own will. And so part of operating in the supernatural, you have to eliminate your own will, the things that you, if you're going to operate in the kingdom, God has provided for us everything that we need. And so we, our will is basically, we have none. And so that's like Jesus said. He said, I don't have a will. Everything my Father. I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And so once we can get to that point that we can do that, then God says, then the Holy Spirit going to lead us. Because that's what he tells us over in Romans 8:14. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they become the sons of God. And so that's what Jesus did. He understood that principle. And when he understood that principle, he began to operate accordingly. So we have to have that conviction. He said he came down just so he could do his Father's will. Another scripture I want you to see why we're here, turn to John chapter 13. Looking at verse 15, and like I say, whenever we read scripture, we can understand that it's so much revelation in each one of those scriptures that if you're ministering on something, the Holy Spirit will reveal a revelation to you from whatever you, because all scripture was inspired by the Holy Ghost. And so since it was inspired by the Holy Ghost, it's up to him to reveal to you what he's saying to you in that scripture. So here in John chapter 13, looking at verse 15, he said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. And so, he said to you, he was talking about in that case, he had washed his disciples' feet and they didn't want to wash his feet. So then he was telling them, he said, if I wash your feet, then you should also wash my feet. But also, he said, the things that I did while I was here on the earth, I was an example to you. And since I was the example, what I did while I was here, those are the exact same things that you should be doing while you're here. I'm the example. I'm the cornerstone. And so if I walk up on sickness and disease, if you look at 1 John 3:8, he said, I was manifested in the earth. That's again, he said, I was manifested in the earth realm to destroy the works of the devil. So if he was here manifested in the earth to destroy the works of the devil, we should be also destroying the works of the devil. That's our example. He was our example. And since he was our example, we should be operating the same way. So that's the culture that we are developing through the apostolic government, through the apostolic anointing. Again, go back to the scripture in Isaiah chapter 9. I just like to build foundations and let you see it. Here in chapter 9, it's just talking about this apostolic government. It says here in Isaiah chapter 9, it's the prophet prophesying about what was going to happen when Jesus get here. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And the last part is the important part. You need to be able to see that. It says, and the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. The zeal of the Lord. God said, I am the one who's going to do this. I'm the one who's going to call apostles and prophets. And so I'm going to establish my government and up on my son's shoulder. And he said, of the increase of his peace, there shall be no end. So he's talking about a supernatural government. And turn to Luke right quick. guess we go to Luke 1. Yeah, I could go a number of places, but we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Let me read a little bit from Luke chapter 1. Like I said, I'm talking about the supernatural and how God did this, and you have to be able to see it and begin to see how he did it. Here in Luke chapter 1, looking at verse 27, you remember the prophet Isaiah had prophesied about this. And here now comes over in the Gospels, getting ready to come on the scene, getting ready to manifest in the earth realm. Here in Luke chapter 1, looking at verse 27, it says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. So already we talk about how the importance of naming. If God give you a name, then everything that you need to carry out, all the characteristics that you need to carry out, what God has provided for you is in that name that he gave. So he gave him the name that he was going to call him. He said he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him unto the throne of David, throne of his father David. So that, remember what he prophesied back in Isaiah, is up on the throne of David, his father. That's where the government is going to be formed. And he shall reign, that means rule, over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That is, again, as he established. He established it in Isaiah, and now he's coming to the earth realm. There's his mother going to birth him into the realm. But watch how she looks at it. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You know, in the natural, we know the only way a baby can be conceived is by a man and woman coming together and procreating. And so, but here it is, they're going to supernaturally, an angel is going to overshadow her, and she's going to give birth in her womb to a baby. That's a supernatural act. So the kingdom began here in the earth realm. The kingdom began here in the earth realm by bringing forth a supernatural being here in the earth realm, so the kingdom can be established. In verse 35, it goes on to say, and the angel answered her and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come up on thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, he went on to say, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has been also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. That's John the Baptist being born at that time. And then when she asks the question, it says, for with God, nothing, no thing shall be impossible. See, and that, so that's supernaturally. That's supernatural. God said, you know, if you can ever get to that point that you understand that with God, nothing shall be impossible, then no matter what the enemy or this world system throw at you, you know you can overcome it. That's why in Mark chapter 11, when Jesus began to teach us about faith, one of the things that he told us in Mark 11 and 22, he said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. And then he began to go on and tell us the things that would happen to us if we understand and have the kind of faith that God has. And so that I say, if nothing is impossible, that's awesome. That to me, that's, you know, if the enemy come and throw something at me, and then I say, you know, all I have to do is forget about that part and think about who my Father is. And see, that's what Jesus did. He just thought about what his Father. He said, I don't care about what y'all saying over here. I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I say, hear my Father say. And so once we get to that point, then we could also begin to operate the way Jesus did while he was on the earth, here in the supernatural. And so it goes on. Jesus explains that all the supernatural things that happen through him flow directly from his intimately connection with his Father. So he was intimately connected to the Father. And so he's given us that opportunity also. And one of the things that our apostle this weekend, you know, as I was beginning to teach and bring this up, the Holy Spirit running through my mind. He wants we who are in the body of Christ here to have that same intimate connection with our Father that Jesus had with him. And so he sent out, I mean, even while after the service yesterday, he was thinking so hard about his people. He sent out prayers that, you know, all his prayer warriors and all of his groups, he wanted them to pray for everybody who's connected to Word Life Christian Center and LTMA Ministry and Ever Increasing Word Training Center. And he sent out, he said, I want everybody to, you know, just take 10 or 15 minutes to pray. Not pray in your understanding, but he wants you to pray in the spirit about these things. Why he wants us to pray in the spirit? Because we don't know how to pray for it in the spirit. But once we begin to pray in, you know, he said, he that searches the heart, Romans 8:27, he said, he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the spirit, and he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things are going to work together for good for us who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. So he gave us three scriptures. And, you may have heard them. If you was at service yesterday, you heard them. But I'm going to give them to you anyway. He gave us Matthew 5:6, which says that blessed is the man who thirsts and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God gave me that way back when I asked him about why was I not as thirsty as some of those people. Why? He said, because you have to be thirsty and you have to be hungry. And then he said, if you're thirsty and hungry, he said, I'm going to fill you up. He said, I'm going to do it myself. You don't have to worry about it. Just all you got to do is thirst and hunger. He says, he gave us also Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right way, his righteousness. And he said, all these things shall be added unto them. This is for us. This is what he wants for us. And, you know, and like I said, we know we can't do it ourselves. We all need the grace of God to carry it out. See? And so as we are praying for that, the Holy Spirit himself is going to come in and he's going to put those graces in us so we can operate that way. He also gave us John 15:7. And John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And so, you know, like I say, now that you got those, that word came from heaven. For as I'm concerned, it came from heaven because it came to our apostle. When he speaks, he's hearing from heaven and hearing what heaven, what earth needs here on earth. And this is what we need here on earth at this time. And so he said, begin to pray that. Do it at least 15 minutes a day. Well, yeah, I mean, you got 15 minutes. Somewhere in that, in your busy day, you can find 15 minutes and do that. And you'll be surprised. And remember the scripture in Mark 4:26. And, you know, you may not, when you first see it, when you first start it, it may not happen right away. But he said, the kingdom of God, he gets to tell us, he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and that seed springs up and grow. He sees night and day, that seed springs up and grow. He knoweth not how, he said, but first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It's a process. And so we have to start the process. And that's where we start. Once we begin to do it, then the process begins and you begin to grow. In fact, let that be your meditation scripture for this class, for this day. Mark 4:26. That'll be our meditation scripture. And so, because you know, like I said, we've gotten so used to this this fast-paced Burger King society. Have it my way. I want it right now. And so, since we want it, we think we can walk up and tell God, "I want it right now." See, it don't happen that way. We have to go through the process. There's a process that we go through. Let me give you some more notes here. It says that, like I said, I just wanted to show you this supernatural, how Jesus came to the earth and God began to set him up in his kingdom. It says, and that the same connection that Jesus had with his Father was what he came to give us through his death and resurrection. That exact same connection. John 1:12. He said, as many as receive him, he said, do he give the ability? We have the ability, is it going to happen to everybody to become sons of God? So if we receive him, then we can become. But again, it just don't happen. It's something that we have to do. It's always something that we have to do. When God give us a word, give us a rhema word, he give us instructions, we have to follow instructions. I think about, you know, like when was that? The first week or second week I was here, I was ministering to you, and I thought about when I tell you about the exam, when my grandmother was tell me, you know, if you want to remember something, take the notes and put it under your pillow. Mm-hmm. But see, and then the Holy Spirit said, all that is an act of faith. See, you know, and because it was an act of faith, I gave God something to work with. And when you give him something to work with, he can do what he need to do, see. And so, you know, and so he came back and he said, that's all it is. He said, you know, whenever God, all the way throughout scripture, God always told his people to do something. Like he told Joshua, he said, see, I've given you the walls of Jericho. In that story we read last week in Jehoshaphat, he told him, he said, in this battle, he said, you don't have to fight in. He said, but set yourself and stand still. But then he gave him instructions. And as he was giving them instructions, the king set up, what he did, he set up praise warriors. And they began to do something. They went out and they began to praise God. They didn't get no weapons or anything. They didn't go to war. But they went out and they began to praise God. For praise ye the Lord, for his goodness endure forever. See, and so once they began to do that, then God himself supernaturally began to carry out those acts of faith that those individuals had put in. That's why in the kingdom of God, faith is so important. We receive grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8. We understand Hebrews 11:6, one of the things that God tells us, you know, we have to have faith in what he says. He said, without faith, here it is again, he said, it's impossible to please him. He said, we who come into him must, come into God, must believe that he is God and that nothing is impossible with God and that he is a rewarder. And that's that diligently. See, that go back to, you can put Matthew 6:33 again there. You can put Matthew 5:6 there. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, many of us got those things like in 6:33 where it's saying all these things should be added unto our apostles. Say we got the things on the wrong end. See, he said, the thing's going to come once we seek him instead of seeking the thing. Most of us get into the habit of seeking things instead of seeking the supplier of the things. We seek him, then the thing's going to automatically come. And so that's where we should be operating from. Couple more notes. It says, sustaining a supernatural lifestyle where signs and wonders follow us is totally dependent on our living out our true identity as sons and daughters of God. Empowering the saints to know God and walk in the fullness of who he says they are And so as I was going through it, I was talking about names and how important names are to what God, once God put that name, he give you a name. And everywhere he go, he'd give an individual a name. I think about Abram. He changed his name to Abraham, and which was the father of many nations. And he said Jesus' name, he gave him a name. He told Mary what to name him. And when he was born, they asked him what he was going to name him. He told him what he was going to name him. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's see if I can find it here. And I start reading at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And again, our apostle has been telling us about, teaching us about our mind and telling us, you know, we can create within our mind, we can create our own environment. We have to be able to understand that. So here in Philippians chapter 2, looking at verse 5, the word of God tells us, this is Apostle Paul again, ministering to the Philippian church. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, we want us to have the same mind that Christ Jesus had. Because he said, one of the things he said, I came down from heaven. I only do the will of my Father. So that's one of the things that we can have that mind, that we only here to do the will of the Father. He goes on to say, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So that let me know right there that while he walked the earth, he didn't walk the earth as God. He walked the earth as a man. He was our example. He said, if I did it here as a man, then you should be able to do it here as a man also. Now, I was your example. And so the things that I did, he said, it goes on to say here, and being found in the fashion as a man, he said he humbled himself. Remember Wednesday night's teaching? That's part of that teaching, you know. He says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, he became so much in the will of his Father, it did not matter what they could throw at him. He will follow out what his Father sent him to do. And, you know, I can imagine the torture, the pain that he went through hanging on that cross and the things that they did for him while he was on the cross. But he was obedient, even unto the cross. I mean, we get to a point, you know, we go, you say, I can do that, but I don't know if, you know. But God says, you know, if we plan in the kingdom and God wants us to do something, you can be for sure that he gonna bring us, there's a better place that he's bringing us to when we go through something. He says, and being found in the fashion as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He goes on to tell us, you know, like I say, that's that name again that God gave him. He's saying he gave him a name. God gave Jesus a name that's above every name. He said that at the name of Jesus, he said, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. That means that at the name of Jesus, no matter what the name is, whether it's sickness, whether even death, at that name, even, you know, it should be overcome. That's, you know, that's the supernatural kingdom that we're operating in. And we get to that point that we understand that then nothing can defeat us, you know. And so I say at the name of Jesus, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, to the glory of God the Father. And see, you know, Jesus came, he let you know it's all about the Father. But it was Jesus who got us back to the Father. It was through him that we came back to the Father, is what he did on the cross, that we was able to go back to the Father. Because of what happened, you know, because of Adam's sin, we lost that connection, that intimacy with the Father. But when Jesus came and he died on the cross, he made it again available for us to get back to that place that Adam was when he was in the garden. You know, with all our everything that we needed was being supplied. Every need that we had was supplied. So now you think about the name of Jesus. And when you think of that name, again, everything that we need to operate in the kingdom is in that name. All God's attributes is in the name of Jesus. God said it's in his word. So and if it's in his word, then all I have to do is take it and have faith in what he said in his word and then begin to apply it to my life. Again, it's, you know, it may not happen, you know, when just when I want it. But the one thing I have to know, it's going to happen because that God has told me that's what's going to happen. And, you know, and so, yeah, like I say, you have to get to the point that we're going to operate in the kingdom, how God set it up. Can't go on what I feel or what I see. We 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, since he brought it up, I bring it up again. Glory to God. And looking at verse 18, it's a supernatural kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And many times what we do, we look at things from our natural eyes. I can understand that. Why? Because that's what we've been trained as. And so now what we're doing, we're retraining you. You're being retrained in the kingdom, in the spiritual kingdom, so you can see things with different set of eyes. And so here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, looking at verse 18, it says, "Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." He says, "For the things which are seen are temporal, are temporary." If we see something, if somebody have given us a bad report, for instance, you go into the doctor and the doctor tells you that you have, you know, a dreaded disease. You know, we use cancer, maybe HIV or something that's incurable. See, but those are things that are seen. See, and they say those things are temporal. See, temporary, that means temporal means they're only temporary. Why? Because we have the truth. It may be a fact, but truth always override a fact. You can, you know, we find the truth on it. We know what the truth says in Isaiah 53 and 4. It says, "For he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed." That's that I amness. I'm already healed. And since I'm already healed, no matter what the fact says, I know what the truth says. And because the truth says that, that's who I am. That's what I am. And so he said that's so since that was only a temporary situation that the enemy had tried to, you know, he tried to deceive you and says, you know, that you got a sickness, a dreaded disease. And so since he tried to deceive you, then all I have to do is go back and find the truth. And when I find the truth, I start operating in that truth. And then that's how we operate in the supernatural. That's how God said, no thing. He told us over there, he said, no thing is impossible with God. So that if no thing, that means that anything that has a name, is God can overcome it. And so we have to understand that. He goes on to say here, in he says, "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So we are actually in the eternal now, right now, right now. See, once we came into the kingdom, we got into the eternity. You know, even though we're walking in the flesh, but we're still in the eternity right now. And so as we are going through this life, we say we are in. So the things that are seen. So let me give you a couple more notes, and then we're going to end this class here. As these core values are taught and demonstrated, a group of people will grow up with faith and courage to bring heaven to earth. So yeah, you're part of that thing which God is doing here in the earth realm. You know, count yourself as tremendously blessed. You say, you know, I came along at this time, and what God is doing here in the earth realm. You know, you think about the children of Israel. You know, the children of Israel, when God called them and chose them, they was not the only people that was on the earth at the time, but they became a chosen people for God. Just like you right now are a chosen people for God, what God is doing here in the earth realm. And you are connected to what he's doing. And so, you know, what you want to grab everything that he's pouring out, he's giving to you right now. So you can begin to operate. You can, and it's all for God's glory. Everything that you do, everything that he do through you is for God's glory. And that's what Jesus said, it's for the glory of God. And so everything that you do is all for the glory of God. It says, and goes on to say, and this would be my last point for this class. It said, developing and understanding a culture of supernatural empowerment. Developing and understanding a culture of supernatural empowerment. That's what's happening to you. You're developing, and you're getting an understanding of your supernatural empowerment. You're being empowered to operate in the supernatural, the way God set it up. Go back to Ephesians 4:11, and it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, until the stature of the fullness of the measure of Christ Jesus, our chief cornerstone. That's what we're coming to. That's where we're going. That's what, you know, that's, if you want to know what your destiny is, that's what your destiny is. That's where you're going. You're on the road, and you know, when you're going somewhere, you're driving to Atlanta, you ain't gonna get to Atlanta right away, but you're going there. You know, if you continue going that way, that's where you're going. So that's where we're going. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Father God. We thank you, Father, as your word have gone forth, they've fallen on good ground, Father God, and they bring forth fruit, not just 30, not just 60, but 100-fold, oh God. Father God, we thank you. We're no longer just hearers, but we become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen.